You are listening to the Polemics Report, a ministry designed to train the powers of your discernment with constant practice, that you might be skilled in the word of righteousness.
Listen, folks, we are in the modern day downgrade. The church has to wake up and realize that we've become theologically inept. We've got to become Bereans.
The downgrade is upon us. The walls are closing in. What will you do? And how will you stand? Stay tuned as answers are given for how you can withstand the modern day downgrade. This is your polemicist, J.D. Hall.
Hello, and you are listening to Polemics Report Weekend Edition, the ministry designed to do what Hebrews 5 exhorts us to do, to train the powers of our discernment through constant practice so that we might be skilled in the word of righteousness. We engage in polemic theology, reproving and rebuking in keeping with Paul's instruction in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, that we do so with patience and teaching. You can listen to the regular Polemics Report podcast on Sermon Audio or iTunes, or by going to polemicsreport.com. This week, you might have seen a Christian Post article alleging that Dr. John MacArthur of Grace Community Church, who you might know for his worldwide ministry, Grace to You, that he thinks the Hispanic world doesn't know the gospel. Although the article was not explicit with an accusation, the subtle charge that was implied was one of cultural insensitivity, perhaps closed-mindedness or ethnocentricity on the part of Dr. MacArthur. Well, the controversial words from Dr. MacArthur are as follows, quote, "The people in the Hispanic world know about Jesus Christ, they know about the Bible, they know about God, they know about salvation, at least in some ways. They have biblical terminology because of the impact, historically, of the Roman Catholic Church, but they don't know Christ, and they don't know the gospel of grace, and they don't know the full revelation of Scripture." As Jeff Maples writes about this at Pulpit and Pen, he says, "The author is one of Bethel Redding's shining stars, that is the Bethel Church in Redding, California, Brandon Showalter." Showalter, the former Mennonite, former Anglican, former Assemblies of God pastor and musician, whose melodies are inspired by the Holy Spirit, or at least so he claims, well, Showalter pens this piece in the Christian Post, lambasting MacArthur and claiming that Hispanics actually do know Christ because the Pentecostals have been there rescuing them from Catholicism. Showalter says, quote, "Ignoring the well-documented explosion of Pentecostalism in Hispanic nations, Pastor John MacArthur believes that people in the Spanish-speaking world do not know the true gospel." Well, let's be clear. Showalter is correct that Pentecostalism has been dominating the religious scene in Latin America, and as a matter of fact, in many areas, Pentecostals now outnumber Roman Catholics. But what he fails to recognize, Jeff writes, is that what he thinks he's defending, he's only refuting. He says, while it's indisputably true that the Roman Catholic Church has historically dominated the religious landscape in Central and South America, many scholars have noted that Pentecostalism has undergone a remarkable rebirth in the past several decades. According to a 2012 report from the U.S. State Department, approximately 43% of Guatemalans, for example, now identify as Protestant. Well, again, Jeff continues, according to another Pew Research poll, the vast majority of these so-called true gospel bearers actually cling to the highly heretical word of faith theology. That is, the prosperity gospel. You might know it as name it and claim it. As a matter of fact, up to 91% of professing Christians in Latin America hold to this false belief system, the system that's so closely tied to Pentecostalism that he's defending. Shouldn't Showalter be thanking MacArthur for ignoring the prosperity gospel? Well, this comes as no surprise, though, since Bethel Church is one of the leading proponents of prosperity theology. The prosperity gospel teaches that you can gain material wealth and health as a result of your faith, and if you don't experience these things, well, then your faith isn't strong enough. Jeff says, "We recently wrote about Bethel's music influence in the Christian-speaking world and how their ideology permeates the vast landscape filled with churchgoers and those who believe they're glorifying God with flesh-feeding music filled with bad theology." MacArthur has criticized the contemporary Christian music movement, specifically Jesus culture, which also, by the way, is out of Bethel Church, Reading, for being dangerously close to blasphemy while seducing the believer away from biblical truth. Well, in fact, the vast majority of Pentecostal or charismatic Christianity has nothing to do with Christianity or the true gospel. The attempt by Showalter to discredit MacArthur is most certainly biased and well-deserving of scrutiny. His obvious attempt to defend his denomination's fireplace should be followed up with a resounding, no. While MacArthur has been exceedingly strong in his stand for biblical truth, sound theology, and discernment, Showalter is profiteering from MacArthur's statement to advance the acceptance of aberrant theology of those denominations that subscribe to it. Essentially, what he's saying is, hey, we're Christians too, don't leave us out. But in reality, many, many are not. Cults desire acceptance among Christians. The Mormons tried it through Glenn Beck. The Seventh-day Adventists tried it through Ben Carson. And the Charismatics will continue to push for acceptance through their music, through emotionally captivating experiences, and so forth. Sadly, many have bought into it. Well, MacArthur's right. The people in the Hispanic world largely do not know the true Jesus of the Bible. Many of them, unfortunately, know a false Jesus. They know both a Catholic Jesus and a Word of Faith Jesus. Very few know the Jesus that saves the wretched, the poor, and the needy. They don't know the gospel of grace. For many, they certainly don't know the full revelation of Scripture. And thank you again, by the way, Pulpit and Pen, for that post. Now, there are several issues here to consider. First, the obvious. As much as the evangelical world is talking about racial reconciliation these days, and a good goal it is, evangelicals must stop using race as a wedge for those with whom they disagree. It should not be controversial to talk about the gospel reaching any of the tribes and nations for whom Jesus died. We've seen similar outrage and feigned indignation this year at Dr. James White and Grace to You's Phil Johnson in what can best be described as racist witch hunts, as words are construed or come loaded with projected meanings from ideological opponents with whom they're in disagreement. What this kind of evangelical correctness does is tie our hands and tongues when trying to speak truth and bring change to the various people groups with their own unique cultural issues who, like everyone else on the planet, desperately need the gospel. Secondly, the evangelical church needs a strong stance regarding what is and what is not to be considered Christianity. Although Rick Warren, Beth Moore, and other seeker-friendly, scripture-twisting teachers refer to Roman Catholics as Christians or brothers and sisters in Christ, that is absolutely not something Protestants would ever have done, well, not very long ago. And that's because we've defined salvation very specifically as being had by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, which, according to official Catholic teaching in the Council of Trent, anathematizes every Protestant on the planet to hell. And that is still, by the way, official Roman Catholic dogma, even if the Roman pontiff has taken, as of late, to the tone of universalism. And if the Protestant faith defines the gospel by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, there is only one clear judgment we could make regarding much of what passes in Latin America as charismatic Christianity, and that is, it is not the gospel, and neither is it orthodox Christianity. What Jeff was explaining at Pulpit and Pen in that excellent post is that charismaticism, both at home and abroad, has one large, predominating, all-suffocating stream within it that is called Word of Faith or the Prosperity Gospel. What is the Prosperity Gospel and what disqualifies it from the actual gospel? Michael Hoodman addresses this at his website. He says, Word of Faith teaching is decidedly unbiblical. It is not a denomination and does not have a formal organization or hierarchy. Instead, it is a movement that is heavily influenced by a number of high-profile pastors and teachers, such as Kenneth Hagin, Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, Paul and Jan Crouch, and Fred Price. The Word of Faith movement grew out of the Pentecostal movement in the late 20th century, but at the heart of the Word of Faith movement is the belief in the force of faith. It is believed that words can be used to manipulate the faith force and thus actually create what they believe Scripture promises, which is health and wealth. Laws supposedly governing the faith force are said to operate independently of God's sovereign will and that God himself is subject to these laws. This is nothing short of idolatry, turning our faith and by extension ourselves into God. But it's from here that Hoodman writes, its theology just strays further and further from Scripture. It claims that God created human beings in his literal physical image as little gods. Before the fall, humans had the potential to call things into existence by using, quote, faith force. After the fall, humans took on Satan's nature and lost the ability to call things into existence by decreeing and declaring them. In order to correct the situation, Jesus Christ gave up his divinity, became a man, died spiritually, took Satan's nature upon himself, went to hell, was born again, and rose again from the dead with God's nature. After this, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to replicate the incarnation in believers so they could become little gods as God had originally intended. Well, following the natural progression of these teachings as little gods, we again have the ability to manipulate the faith force and become prosperous in all areas of life. Illness, sin, and failure are a result of a lack of faith and are reminded by confession, claiming God's promises for oneself into existence. Simply put, Hoodman says, the Word of Faith movement exalts man to God status and reduces God to man status. Needless to say, this is a false representation of what Christianity is all about. Obviously, Word of Faith teaching does not take into account what is found in Scripture. Personal revelation, not Scripture, is highly relied upon in order to come up with such absurd beliefs, which is just one more proof of its heretical nature. Well, Hoodman's analysis is correct. The entire concept of this religion that makes God into man and makes man into God, known as Word of Faith or Prosperity Gospel, can only survive in a system that relies upon personal revelation rather than Scripture, which is why these heresies cannot exist outside of charismatic Christianity. And while I should be very clear to articulate that not all charismatics hold to these heresies, the concept of God giving prophecy to seemingly everyone outside of Scripture is responsible for notions like this that are flooding Latin America in the name of Christianity. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 15, Jesus condemns those who travel land and sea, quote, making converts that are twice the sons of hell. Sadly, many have capitalized on the desperate economic situation in Latin America, along with its penchant for superstition garnered from Catholicism and Spiritism, and they've done exactly that by making promises of health and wealth. Be careful that when you hear of Christianity spread across the world, that it is, in fact, actual Christianity. In related news, Bud Alheim at Pulpit and Pen broke the story of a Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher in Texas named Fred Smith, who happens to be the president for a faith-based philanthropic organization, The Gathering, actually promoted a Roman Catholic-esque understanding of justification in a post that was published in the Southern Baptist newspaper, The Baptist Standard. It was entitled, What Can Wash Away My Sins? In the article, Smith gives a brief analysis of the contrast between philanthropy and charity, stating that, quote, while philanthropy begins with the motivation of doing good out of love for mankind, charity, rightly understood, begins with the recognition of the necessity of forgiveness of everyday sin. He says, quote, I give because I recognize that I've sinned and I am in need of cleansing and atoning for my behavior. He said, quote, in the Southern Baptist newspaper, again, by the way, the purpose of giving to the poor was not to eliminate poverty, but to atone for sin. It was recognition of the need of confession, forgiveness, and atonement that motivated charitable gifts. He says, quote, giving does not spring from altruism, but from our own need. Giving is not a sign of our love of mankind, but our recognition of our own sin for absolution. He says, quote, thank you, this is not out of the goodness of my heart, but out of my own need for forgiveness. Well, friends, this isn't only not Southern Baptist doctrine, this isn't even Christian doctrine. For again, we are saved, justified, and forgiven by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. For as Hebrews 8 says, where there is forgiveness, there is no longer any offering for sin. Claiming that forgiveness comes from offering is more akin to the song lyric that started the Protestant Reformation when it was heard by Martin Luther, sung by Tetzel raising funds for St. Peter's Basilica, when he sang, quote, when a coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs. That's not Christianity. That's something else altogether. Remember, friends, just because it comes evangelical approved, or even just because it shows up in your Southern Baptist newspaper, doesn't mean it is indeed Christianity. Thank you for listening to the Polemics Report. Donate, if you can, on the website polemicsreport.com. You can listen to the whole program on Sermon Audio, iTunes, or again the website polemicsreport.com. God bless you, and until next time, as always, Semper Reformanda.